So we continue. The morning I arrived in Warsaw, at 8 o'clock that evening, I was already at home. What a joy it was for my parents and for the whole family. We went back to family to say hello, huh? It is difficult to describe it. My mother's health had improved a bit, but the doctor gave no hope of complete recovery. After greeting each other, we knelt down to thank God for the grace of being able to be together once again in this life. Home visit. When I saw how my father prayed, I was very much ashamed that after so many years in the convent, I was not able to pray with such sincerity and fervor. And so I never ceased thanking God for such parents. So many times you have to thank your parents because they live their faith so much that you can continue. Can we say that? Huh? Can we say that because your parents, they give you this faith, the seeds of faith anyway. If you think they don't give you, they baptize you, I don't know where will you be before the Lord today, right? Oh, how everything had changed beyond recognition during those 10 years. The garden had been so small, and now I could not recognize it. My brothers and sisters had still been children, and now they were all grown up. I was surprised that I did not find them as they had been when they parted. Stanley accompanied me to church every day. I felt that he was very pleasing to God. On the last day, when everyone had left the church, I went before the Blessed Sacrament with him, and together we recited the Te Deum, the song, the Latin song, giving thanks to the Lord. After a moment of silence, I offered his soul to the sweetest heart of Jesus. How easy it was to pray in that little church. I remembered all the graces that I had received there, and which I had not understood at the time, and had so often abused. I wondered how I could have been so blind, and so I was thus regretting my blindness. I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus, radiant with unspeakable beauty, and he said to me with kindness, "My chosen one, I will give you even greater graces. You may be the witness of my infinite mercy throughout all eternity." The days at home passed in much company, as everybody wanted to see me and talk with me. Often I could count as many as 25 people there. They listened with great interest to my accounts of the lives of the saints. It seemed to me that our house was truly the house of God. As each evening we talked about nothing but God. When tired from these talks and yearning for solitude and silence, I quietly slipped into the garden in the evening so I could converse with God alone. Even in this, I was unsuccessful. Immediately, my brothers and sisters came and took me into the house, and once again, I had to talk with all those eyes fixed on me. They were yearning to learn from her. But I struck on one way of getting some respite. I asked my brothers to sing for me, inasmuch as they had lovely voices. And besides, one played the violin and another the mandolin. And during this time, I was able to devote myself to interior prayer without shunning their company. So let them some musical, and then she can keep silent and converse with God. What also cost me a lot was that I had to kiss the children. The women I knew came with their children and asked me to take them in my arms, at least for a moment, and kiss them. They regarded this as a great favor, and for me it was a chance to practice virtue. Since many of the children were quite dirty, her dress is very clean. Once they embrace the children, all the dirt comes. But in order to overcome my feelings and show no repugnance, I would kiss such a dirty child twice. One of these friends came with a child whose eyes were diseased and filled with pus. And she said to me, "Sister, take it in your arms for a moment, please." My nature recoiled, but not paying attention to anything, I took the child and kissed it twice, right on the infection, asking God to heal it. I had many opportunities to practice virtue. I listened to people pour out their grievances and saw that no heart was joyful because no heart truly loved God. And this did not surprise me at all. I was very sorry not to have seen two of my sisters. I felt in theory that their souls were in great danger. Pain gripped my heart at the thought of them. Once, when I felt very close to God, I fervently asked the Lord to grant them grace, and the Lord answered me. I am granting them not only necessary graces, but special graces as well. I understood that the Lord would call them to a greater union with Him. I rejoice immensely that such great love reigns in our family. As I was taking leave of my parents and asking for the blessing, I felt the power of the grace of God being poured out upon my soul. My father, my mother, and my godmother blessed me with tears in their eyes, wished me the greatest faithfulness to God's graces, and begged me never to forget how many graces God had granted me in calling me to the religious life. They asked me to pray for them. Although everyone was crying, I did not shed a single tear. I tried to be brave and comforted them as best I could, reminding them of heaven, where there would be no more parting. Stanley walked me to the car. I told him how much God loves pure souls and assured him God was satisfied with him. When I was telling him about the goodness of God and of how He thinks of us, he burst out crying like a little child. And I was not surprised, for this was a pure soul and as such, more capable of recognizing God. Once I was in the car, I let my heart have its way, and I too cried like a baby. For joy that God was granting our family so many graces, and I became steeped in the prayer of thanksgiving. By evening, I was already at Warsaw. Firstly, I greeted the Lord of the house, Jesus in the Eucharist. And then I went to greet the whole community. One entered the chapel to say good night to the Lord before retiring and apologized for having talked so little to him. When I was at home, I heard a voice within myself, my soul. I was very pleased that you had not been talking with me, but were making my goodness known to souls and rousing them to love me. So even you don't have time to come for adoration, make people love God more. You know, don't tell yourself, oh, sorry, I cannot come to church and that's why I can't do much things. No. You put God's love in their hearts. You see, even you can't come to church even one second. But how you buy things, how you treat people, how you act, every little things representing God. So Jesus very believed her, although she had not much time to prayer, personal prayer, but good. You share my love with people. Otherwise, you know, coming to church or not coming to church, not much difference. If you are not changed, you are not giving God's love to other people, that could be selfish. It is for yourself. You come to church so that you treasure this love to share with others. Otherwise, what does it mean to come to church? Right? Does it mean meaningful? So how is Jesus teaching us all these little things? Sometimes we doubt. The more time you go to church, the more time is better. But not necessarily, not all the time. You have the will of God, no? Mother Superior said to me, we are both going to your sphinic tomorrow, wow, sister. And you will have a chance to talk with Mother General, Michael. I was delighted. Mother General was ever the same, full of goodness, peace, and the Spirit of God. I had a long talk with her. We attended the afternoon service. The litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus was sung. The Lord Jesus exposed in the monstrance. After a short while, I saw the little Jesus who came out from the host and rested in my hands. This lasted for a moment. Immense joy flooded my soul. The child Jesus had the same appearance as he had the time we entered the chapel with Mother Superior, my former directress, Mother Joseph. The next day I was already back in my beloved Belinus. Oh, how happy I felt to be back in our convent. I felt as though I was entering the convent for the second time. I took unending delight in the silence and peace in which the soul can so easily immerse itself in God, helped by everyone and disturbed by no one. The Great Lent. When I become immersed in the Lord's Passion, I often see the Lord Jesus during adoration in this manner. After the scourging, the torturers took the Lord and stripped him of his own garment, which had already adhered to the wounds. As he took it off, his wounds reopened. Then they threw a dirty and tattered scarlet cloak over the fresh wounds of the Lord. The cloak, in some places, barely reached his knees. They make him sit on a piece of beam, and then they woven a crown of thorns, which they put on his sacred head. They put a reed in his hand and make fun of him, bowing to him as to a king. Some spat in his face. Some others took the reed and struck him on the head with it. Others caused him pain by slapping him. Still others covered his face and struck him with their fists. Jesus bore all this with meekness. Who can comprehend him? comprehend his suffering. Jesus' eyes were downcast. I sensed what was happening in the most sweet heart of Jesus at that time. Let every soul reflect on what Jesus was suffering at that moment. They tried to outdo each other in insulting the Lord. I reflected, where does such malice in men come from? It is caused by sin. Love and sin have met. When I was attending Mass in certain church with another sister, I felt the greatness and majesty of God. I felt the church was permeated by God. His majesty enveloped me, and though it terrified me, it filled me with peace and joy. I knew that nothing could oppose his will. Oh, if only all souls knew who is living in our churches, there would not be so many outrages and so much disrespect in this holy place. O eternal and incomprehensible Lord, I beg you for one grace, enlighten my mind with light from on high. Help me to know and appreciate all things according to their value. I feel the greatest joy in my soul when I come to know the truth. March 21st, 1935. Often during Mass, I see the Lord in my soul. I feel His presence which pervades my being. I sense His divine gaze. I gave long talks with Him. I have long talked with Him without saying a word. I know what His divine heart desires, and I always do what will please Him the most. So many times when you say, come to pray, and they say, no, we don't know what to pray. Jesus, what He wants, stay there. The only you talk, let Jesus be, He will talk also. I love Him to distraction, and I feel that I'm being loved by God. At those times when I meet with God deep within myself, I feel so happy that I do not know how to express it. Such moments are short, for the soul could not bear it for long, as separation from the body would be inevitable. Though these moments are very short, the power, however, which is transmitted to the soul remains with it for a very long time. Open yourself and let God in. It's powerful. Don't let the distractions and put you everywhere. Without the least effort, I experienced the profound recollection which I then envelops me, and it does not diminish even if I talk with people. Lord, does it interfere with the performance of my duties? So if you have already the presence of the Lord in you, even you go to another places, do another work, still the presence is there, still the warmth is there, Jesus' presence. I feel the constant presence of God without any efforts of my soul. I know that I am united with Him as closely as a drop of water is united with the bottomless ocean. We are just a drop of water. But when we drop into the ocean, we are one with the Lord. It's the idea of Sister Teresa of Lisieux. She said also, the love of God, no, we just a little drop of water, drop into the ocean, you can imagine. We said we love much, just a drop of water. Ocean, can you imagine, no? Even a cup of water is bigger than a drop of water. But still, you see. Last Thursday, toward the end of my prayers, I felt this grace. And it lasts for an unusually long time, but it was throughout Mass, so that I thought I would die of joy. At such times, my love of God and His attributes becomes more acute. And also I know to my own self and my misery much better. I'm amazed at the Lord's great concession to such a miserable soul as mine. After Holy Mass, I felt completely immersed in God and am still conscious of His every glance into the depth of my heart. About midday, I entered the chapel for a moment, and again the power of grace struck my heart. As I continued in a state of recollection, Satan took a flower pot and angrily hurled it to the ground with all his might. I saw all his rage and his jealousy. See, when we are so close to the Lord, Satan is not happy. He threw them in the church, I think, maybe with a strong wind. There was no one in the chapel, so I got up, picked up the piece of the water pot, repotted the flower, and tried to do all this before anyone came in. But I didn't manage to do so, as Mother Superior came in at that moment together with the sister sacristan and several other sisters. Mother Superior was surprised that I had been touching something on the altar and thus caused the flower pot to fall. Sister sacristan showed her displeasure, and I did my best to explain or excuse myself. But towards evening, I felt very exhausted and could not make my holy hour. So I asked Mother Superior to allow me to go to bed early. I fell asleep as soon as I lay down. But at about 11 o'clock, Satan shook my bed. I awoke instantly. I started to pray peacefully to my guardian angel. Then I saw the souls who were doing penance in purgatory. They appeared like shadows, and among them I saw many demons. One of these tried to vex me, taking the form of a cat. He kept throwing himself onto my bed and on my feet, and he was quite heavy, as if weighing a ton. I kept praying the rosary all the while, and toward dawn this being vanished and was able to get some sleep. When I entered the chapel in the morning, I heard a voice in my soul. You are united to me. Fear nothing. But no, my child, that Satan hates you. He hates every soul. But he burns with a particular hatred for you, because you have snatched so many souls from his dominion. He's angry with her because she's praying for so many souls from saving them, and suddenly start happy. Jesus telling her, but Jesus said, I tell you one secret. Holy First Day, when I came down for Mass, I got a new kind of 10 beads rosary, kind of losing one, I mean, can elastic, no? When I was in the lift, I just tried to pull it out a little bit, broken. All the beads spread on the floor. And that evening, during Holy Mass, during giving the communion, one of the chalice, by my mistake, it's nearly pouring onto the cloth. Never happened before. So by the time the beads float on the floor, I get something will happen. I don't know what will happen. And then the consecrated wine, the blood of Jesus, spread through the cloth, quite a big piece, nearly half the cup done. But then, after some hours, because the cloth will be clean, the first time the water is poured onto the mud. So you can, the same image, when Jesus was dying on the cross, his blood flowing down from the cross and down to earth. It's another image, is this, the blood of Christ is now cleansed, pouring into the earth. Jesus is saving not only human beings. Jesus sanctifies the whole universe, the cosmos. In fact, it's, I mean, in a more real sense, by the time we receive Holy Communion, we, our body, be consecrated by Him to a certain sense, transformed into divine nature. And after we died, our body buried on earth, our body become the Eucharist of the earth. And the earth is consecrated by us because we are consecrated through Him, through Jesus. Jesus through us, our body become the food of the earth, and we become the nutrition, the Eucharist of the earth. So that's, we are united with the Lord for the whole humanity, for the whole universe, our sanctification. That's why the Satan is not happy, because he was spreading adoration of Blessed Sacrament. We are spreading the good news to serve the Lord more, come to Him more. Satan is not happy. So, but I'm glad that Faustina saying this word. Jesus telling her, you are united to me, fear nothing. So what we have to do, united with Jesus, nothing can be done, nothing else, unless you don't want to be close to Jesus. Once you're close to Jesus, you have all the obstacles, laziness, jealousy, people speaking evil against you, some people you don't like, and you know, all these things attacking. As a matter of fact, the lady I mentioned many times, the one who had the stigmata, the five wounds, the woman in Toronto, that was some 10 years ago, she could not sleep at night because the devil just waking his bed, the same as Faustina. Faustina is sleeping and then he's moving his bed. And that's why that's the lady's called, what do you call her name? Lillian. She told the priest, She couldn't sleep at night because the devil, the Satan, because she was a chosen soul, no? A victim soul. So the priest invited her to stay in the church, close to Jesus. And then, you know, and from that for that moment, she got the special grace to meet Jesus appearing to her, and also the grace of stigmata every Holy Week, special Good Friday, she had the blood come out. She suffered. Even the whole year, her whole body is suffering, but for sake of sinners. The same is for sinners, it's a different way. For sinners spreading the divine mercy, but Lillian is, through her image, that's teaching us trust that there is the presence of the Lord among us. Now, you have some minute. I share part of the Holy Saturday, April 18, okay? 1935. See how Jesus, all these 2 days, working for us. That's one Holy Thursday, that time I spread the beads on the floor. This morning I heard these words: from today until resurrection, you will not feel my presence, but your soul will be filled with great longing. A mysteriously great longing filled my soul. I felt a separation from my beloved Jesus. And when the moment of Holy Communion came, I saw the suffering face of Jesus in every host in the chalice. From that moment, I felt a more intense yearning in my heart. On Good Friday, at least 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when I entered the chapel, I heard these words: I desire that image be publicly honored. Then I saw the Lord Jesus dying on the cross amidst great suffering. And out of the heart of Jesus came the same two rays as are in the image. Saturday, yesterday, during Vespers, I saw the Lord Jesus radiant as the sun in the bright common, and he said to me, "May your heart be joyful." And great joy flooded me, and I was penetrated with God's presence, which for the soul is a treasure beyond words. When the image was displayed, I saw a sudden movement of the hand of Jesus as he made a large sign on the cross of the cross. In the evening of the same day, when I had gone to bed, I saw the image going over the tongue, and the tongue was covered with what appeared to be a mass and nests. As Jesus passed, he cut through all the nets and finally made a large sign of the cross and disappeared. I saw myself surrounded by multitude of malicious figures burning with hatred for me. Various threats came from their lips, but none of them touched me. After a moment, this apparition vanished, but for a long time I could not get to sleep. April 26, on Friday, when I was at Opsra Brahma to attend the ceremony to which the image was displayed, I heard a sermon given by my confessor, Father Sopuko. This sermon about divine mercy was the first of the things that Jesus had asked me so very long ago. When he began to speak about the great mercy of the Lord, the image came alive and the rays pierced the hearts of people gathered there, but not all to the same degree. Some received more, some less. Great joy filled my soul to see the grace of God. Black Sunday, Divine Mercy. Then I heard the word, "You are a witness of my mercy. You shall stand before my throne forever as a living witness of my mercy." When the sermon was over, I did not wait for the end of the service, as I was in a hurry to get back home. When I had taken a few steps, a great multitude of demons blocked my way. They threatened me with terrible tortures, and voices could be heard. She has snatched away everything we have worked for over so many years. When I asked them, "Where have you come from in such great numbers?" the wicked forms answered, "Out of human hearts. Stop tormenting us." You see, the devil comes from human hearts, not from nowhere, from our hearts. Seeing the great hatred for me, I immediately asked my guardian angel for help. And at once, the bright and radiant figure of my guardian angel appeared and said to me, "Do not fear, spouse of my Lord. Without his permission, these spirits will do you no harm." With the permission of the Lord. When it's permitted, sufficient grace. But you have to suffer also. Immediately, the evil spirits vanished, and the faithful guardian angel accompanied me in a visible manner right to the very house. His nook was modest and peaceful, and a flame of fire sparkled from his forehead. "Oh Jesus, I would like to toil and wear myself out and suffer all my life for that one moment in which I saw your glory, O Lord, and profit for soul." So next Sunday we will meditate. Will you be present?